Welcome to Wolf's Watch. I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. Hey, when you were a kid, did you ride bicycles? We rode bicycles. Man, we rode bicycles all over the place. And I was proud to be part of the generation that got in the summer times the golden direction. It's like for moms, but you go have fun now. You be back for dinner. Boom, we're gone all day long. We're riding the streets, we're riding along major boulevards so that we can get to the bridge right at the edge of the city. It still chokes me up thinking about it. Right at the edge of the city, the border between the town I grew up in and the next city over. It's a creek, what we would call a creek in the Midwest. Hey, compared to what we see in Los Angeles, it's a raging river, right? We just have arroyos here. You know, they fill up with water once or twice a year or whenever there's big rain, when the snow melts and then it all rushes out to sea. And we watch it go because we're under water rationing and have been for a long time. You know, we could use that water, but we can't catch it for some reason. So we go to the creek, go to the bridge. The cool thing about the bridge is there was a sidewalk to walk across the bridge. There's this four-lane road, major boulevard, back and forth, busy traffic. 35 zone. Got to be careful. Cars all over the place, right? No traffic lights, just the bridge. But when you get right to the bridge, you go right to the edge where the sidewalk meets the bridge and the walkway that goes across the bridge. And boom, there's a little dirt path that go down along the side of the creek and into the woods. And that's where we'd head with our bicycles. And we'd ride that path all the way along. Man, there's all kinds of briars and brambles and big trees. And it smelled, you know, dusty and green. You could smell the fresh water from the creek. Creek was about, I don't know, 40 feet wide, 50 feet wide. Not very deep in a lot of spots. We'd ride alongside that, stop, have mud ball fights, skip rocks. You know, find a nice flat rock. My dad taught me that, right? Get that action going. Sideball like you're throwing a curveball. Skip it across the water. We'd ride all over the place. Problem was, though, every once in a while, we'd ride over something and it had thick enough thorns to puncture the tire. So we always carried little kits with us. I had a little kit, a little zip-up pouch. Had a tool to take the wheel off the bike. Another tool to work around the tire to get that off so you could get the inner tube out. And you have a hot patch, so you'd have some matches. Yes, we were young, we're grade school. We got to play with matches because it was a legitimate work thing, right? We're working to patch our tire to get back home. Because now, you know, we're 45 minutes riding at high speed for kids on a bicycle, right? Several miles away from home. Put that patch on. Clamp it down with the other tools that were in the little kit that I carried. Light that match. Man, it's like fireworks. That thing would bubble and churn. You could hear it getting hot and you'd have to set it someplace. You know, make sure everything's cleared away and it's sitting in the dirt or even better up on a big rock. Or sometimes we'd find some cinder blocks to use for something like that. Set it on that so it doesn't set anything on fire. Not going to start any forest fires. And burn it and just melt that patch right on the tire. My buddy had a little hand pump on his bike. And we pump it back up after getting it back on the rim. Tire over the inner tube. Rim back on the bicycle. And pump that up. You know, you test it with your thumbs. Make sure it's nice and hard. Off we'd go. Until somebody else would get a flat. Or just until it was time to head home for dinner. Never be late for dinner. Right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, whether you had a whistle, because the moms, each mom had a different whistle sound. So if we were in the neighborhood, we could tell whose mom was saying, hey, time to come home. And you did not want to be late. You did not want to ignore the whistle. There would be consequences. Don't ask me how many summers I spent grounded for one infraction or another. The thing is, you know, put those patch on the tire, off we'd go. It's interesting, though, because in a car tire, and just pull in, boom, get it plugged. A lot faster. It's a lot safer, too. That's one thing that always worries me. You know, going through the desert in a car, or particularly on a motorcycle, those tubes get hot inside. guess what? On this day in 1947, B.F. Goodrich announced the tubeless tire. 1947. It's a while before they caught on as mainstream, but that's when it started. So that's what, 72, 82 years of plugging tires instead of putting the hot patch on them. Because then you have to make sure the patch is on right. If it's not, it's going to blow, which is really, really dangerous, especially in a car or on a motorcycle. Got to make sure the tube is inside the tire correctly. Even for a bicycle, that's a problem because if it's pinched, then it's either going to want to bulge or it's not going to inflate properly. Causes you another problem. So just being able to go tubeless and plug, 82 years of plugging, made it so much simpler to work with the tires, so much easier, so much faster in manufacturing when you're putting tires on thousands of rims a day. So much easier for the garages that served those driving cars. And it increased the safety factor because you could put a plug in without having so many other moving parts. It's faster and better. How are you making innovations like that in your business? You know, looking at what are the steps that you go through to do stuff to create value for your customers and to get paid. You know, and get paid well. You provide value, you get paid. Nothing wrong with that. That is what the entrepreneurial life is about. That's what free enterprise is about. Solve a problem, provide value, and people pay you for it. Free exchange, free enterprise. Makes the world better, makes life better. Tubeless tires made the roads safer, led to radials. I suppose you could have a tubed radial, but what most people drive today are tubeless radial tires on their cars. When's the last time you had a blowout? I'm talking to my dad. It was a regular thing growing up. They had blowouts all the time. On our bicycles, we did just because we were picking stuff up. You know, we're riding where bicycles really weren't meant to go. So we'd get sharp objects in the tires, but you always had to carry patches. It was just something that was a regular thing. You know, I thought about that because I saw a bicyclist repairing his tire alongside the road. And thought, yeah, you know, we did that when we were kids, but we don't do that in cars anymore. We don't do that on the motorcycles anymore. We can patch it or use Fix-A-Flat so you can get to the nearest garage is even better. But again, that simplified the process. It applied newer technology in an innovative way. How can you do that in your business? You know, it's just so essential right now. I'm setting something up I'm going to share with you in just a second. I forgot to type this in before we got started here today. It's so essential right now to work on productivity innovations in your business because customers don't want to hear price increases just because you need to maintain a profit, because you need to maintain your profit margin. They're getting squeezed too. So are your suppliers. It's about value. How can you more productively deliver value to your customers? Now, this is one of the tips that we talk about, one of the strategies and tactics related to it. They talked about actually with the pools and spas industry recently. I had an opportunity to do a brief webinar with them and bring some tips to the table. That was one of the tips when we created the after action report and then creating a summary guide for the people that participated as a way of saying thank you. We had over 21 tips plus several bonuses that we included in there that hadn't been part of the original program, along with Q&A. That was one of the tips, you know, was the how-to tactics for the strategy of increasing productivity as a cost-cutting measure so that you can protect your margins during high inflation. Applies in recessions too. It's one of those things that's a good practice no matter what's going on around you, right? It's always a good practice to focus on productivity improvement. It is imperative. It's crucial in high inflation, recessionary cycle. So think about that. How can you do that? How can you look at the way that you create value step by step from your customer's customer? How does what you deliver to your customer help their customer from there all the way back to your supplier's supplier? It's a lot of reasons for doing that. We'll talk some more about that because there's many, many individual tactics, tips for tactical implementation of that strategy for managing value. Consider this. If you are providing that value and doing it more efficiently, what we learn about how you can also innovate. See, understanding, it all begins with your customer and their customer. Understanding, this is a bonus for today's talk. Understanding their value and being very, very much in their shoes will allow you to innovate as well. So food for thought. Again, for today, the tip is focus on the strategy of managing margins through productivity improvements. Don't just crank up your price and pass along cost increases to your customer. And we'll talk about pricing policy. We've touched on this before. We'll talk about this, about pricing policy related to that in a future episode. Something we're going to do a much deeper dive on coming up on April. No, April's already gone, right? It's May. Oh my gosh, man, it's May. We're halfway through second quarter of 2022. How well prepared are you for 2023? Your marketing year is almost over, right? It's a minimum 90 days from doing something new in marketing and getting the dollars from that effort in your bank account. On May 25th at 1 o'clock Pacific time, we're going to be doing the scale playbook. Actually, we're going to be talking about how to scale up your business during high inflation and recessionary times and with supply chain disruptions. We touch on those because that's your current business environment, right? But really, the big thing is inflation. When inflation is where it is right now, it's still 8.3% is the official number that's coming out of Washington, D.C. Depending on who you listen to, it's somewhere between 8.3% and 18%. Federal Reserve shows a different metric that has it 17-18% still. Either way, it's not good. Federal Reserve says 2% is acceptable, 3% is not good. We're at 8.3 or more. So what do you do? What are the shifts in that? We're going to talk specifically, what are the strategies? There's five strategies and multiple tactics on how to implement those. When we're talking about that, go to thescaleplaybook.com to learn more. That's thescaleplaybook.com. And we'll be doing a complimentary webinar on May 25th at 1 o'clock Pacific time. Hey, thanks for being part of Wolf's Watch. The tip today again is look at how you create and deliver value for your customer, ideally beginning with your customer's customer, going all the way back to your supplier's supplier. There's so much that comes out of that. That strategy will serve you so well in terms of controlling costs through productivity improvements, which is the way to do it, the best way to do it. And there's so much more information, so much more understanding that is created through that effort that many other things will benefit you as well, which we'll talk about in future Wolf's Watch. Thanks for joining us. This is live television, live 21st century television, right? Live and interactive. And I appreciate you interacting with us, and I look forward to seeing you on the trail. I'm Wolf. This is Wolf's Watch. Have a wonderful Wednesday.